that they just joined us. They've been going to Apostolic Pentecostal churches for many, many years. But it is an honor and a blessing to have you joining us here today. And we hope that you feel just as comfortable as this was your first church. Praise God, in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Praise God. Now, in order to graduate, you have to attend all four classes. So there's some people, maybe you've attended a class here or there. That's wonderful. Again, if you can only attend one, that's perfectly fine. But we'd love for you to graduate and to do that. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1. Listen, y'all, I don't have any idea how this sermon's going to go today. You are just as much going to be surprised as I'm going to be surprised. Praise God. But I do feel that I've heard from God. And you know what? The power of the Holy Ghost is here. And where the Holy Ghost is, there are signs and wonders. Hallelujah. There's visions. There's God pouring out His Spirit. Maybe today you felt something in the worship. That is the Spirit of God drawing you today. Hallelujah. The Lord can fill you with His Spirit. And hey, you don't have to jump around and all that like everybody else is doing, but I do believe the Lord wants to fill you with His Spirit. And when He does, you will speak with other tongues. It's a miraculous event that the Lord will bless you with. It'll be an incredible experience as God blesses you. He will change your life. I believe He's going to do it today. Amen. Praise God. 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now, that's forbidden by the law. And Amnon knew this. Amnon was, though, so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. He was so sick because he wanted to be with Tamar so bad, but he knew he couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. The law forbid him. He knew what it would do to his family, so he thought it hard. He could not allow himself to do that which was forbidden. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Everybody say subtle. And he said unto him, "Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister." So obviously this was his half-sister. And Jonadab said unto him, "Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand." What is he doing? He is plotting with Amnon. Amnon had these urges within him, but he was able to say no and control it. But he had a friend who was not too good of a friend, who began to plot with him on how he could do that which was forbidden. If you could quickly move to John chapter 8 and verse 43. There's a famous sermon. I'd encourage you, if you've ever heard of it, if you've not heard of it, look it up on YouTube. Amnon Had a Friend by Jerry Jones. Probably one of the best sermons you'll ever hear in your life. I'm going to approach this a different way than he did in that sermon, so I'd encourage you, go take a listen to that. John chapter 8, verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? This is Jesus talking. Why do you not understand my speech? When he says speech, he's talking about the way he chose to disclose the information. They could not understand it. Jesus talked in parables. It was like Jesus was speaking a whole nother language. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. This is Jesus actually answering his own question. You can't understand my speech because you've not fallen in love with my word. They couldn't receive the understanding of his speech because they couldn't grasp the spiritual doctrine he was trying to explain. I know this is a lot. Give me, just have a little patience here. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Jesus is already here predicting the way in which he would die. He was telling them, you're of your father, the devil. And just like the devil was a murderer from the beginning, you're going to become a murderer by placing me on the cross. He did not abide in the truth, and it's because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh, it's a lie. He speaketh of his own. In other words, he's speaking of his own nature. It's in the nature of the devil to be deceitful. It's in the nature of the devil to trick, to lie, and to deceive. Why? Because he is a liar. Everybody say, the devil is a liar. And he is the father of it. He is the originator of the lie. He is the first to ever lie. And he began that within mankind. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? You cannot grasp the truth. Why is that? It's because they're not ready to dispel of the lie. Truth cannot be truly comprehended and received until we're willing to admit what is a lie. There's some people today, God's telling you it's time to start admitting those lies of the devil. Praise God. He's got so much more for you. But today, we've got to dispel the lie of the devil. Today, I just want to preach for a little while on this topic. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Why don't you right now just lay down your Bibles and one more time lift up your voice to the Lord and ask the Lord to bless us. Lord God, we thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Oh, I pray, Lord God, let your spirit flow in this place. I pray, God, that you would awaken us out of sleep, that, Lord, you would pinpoint, you would make known, let the light be turned on, that today we would recognize what is the lie, and that, Lord Jesus, we might be able to shun the devil, Lord Jesus, and tune our ears into your voice and what you have for us today, in the name of Jesus. Everybody shout amen. Amen. Come on, hallelujah. How about you shout amen one more time? Clap your hands to the Lord. Make a little joyful noise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. 2 weeks ago, if you were here, I preached a sermon. The name of it is God is Speaking. And I asked the simple question, are you listening? I talked about all the ways that God speaks to us by the Holy Ghost, through ministers and the church and through prophecy. All the different ways that the Lord is speaking to us and trying to draw us and trying to teach us and instruct us. I'm here to tell you, if you know it or not, the Lord is speaking. Hallelujah. The Lord is trying to get your attention. We've got to tune our ears to Him, praise God, and hear what He has to say. But today, I would like to make a similar claim and ask a similar question. See, because I believe that God is speaking, but I believe also the devil is speaking. The devil is also speaking. He is that voice of temptation, that voice of deception. And the simple question I have for you today is, are you listening? The scripture makes this point about the devil, that it is his nature to lie. That he is the father of lies. There were no such thing as lies until he first spoke to Eve in the garden. He spoke to Eve. He convinced her to eat of that fruit. He was that subtle snake. Adam and Eve knew full well that if they were to eat of that fruit, bad things were going to happen. I don't know why they were hanging out around the tree, praise God. I think if I'd known that, I'd like to believe I'd be far, far away. See, that's the problem. Sometimes we pray and we say, you know, Lord, lead me not into temptation as I walk into the bar. Right? Lead me not into temptation as I go right on my computer in the middle of the night with nobody watching. Praise God. Lead me not into temptation. Hey, listen, the devil doesn't need to lead you. Sometimes we lead ourselves into temptation, right? Hallelujah. But the devil was there. He knew full well exactly what to say and how to say it to Eve that would convince her to take of that fruit. He used the three sources of sin, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the voices of deception. It's the voice of temptation. It originated from Satan. And I'm sorry to tell you, but he's still that snake that was in the garden. And instead of hanging around trees, he's hanging around shoulders. Hallelujah. And he is still speaking into the ears of God's people, tempting them, persuading them, and trying to deceive them. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. It says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve or deceived Eve through his subtlety, his craftiness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What he's saying is, I fear that the devil would take the word of God and he, through his craftiness, would conform it and he'd deform it and he'd change it and he'd try to make it say something it's not meant to say, and he'd as a subtle snake would begin to whisper into the ears of God's people and turn them away from the truth of the word of God. But he doesn't have that kind of control here, right? Hallelujah, because I don't know about you, but I love the truth. Hallelujah, and I won't let go of this truth no matter what voice begins to speak. That's all right. I'll turn. I'll preach to this screen then. Hallelujah. I love truth so much. I'll stand for it. I'll shout it. I'll dance it. I'll preach it. Come on, get me on a rooftop and I'll preach the truth. Praise God. I don't care what the devil has to say. The truth is the most precious thing that you and I have today, brothers and sisters. The truth is the most precious thing. It is the most valuable thing that you've got. That's why the Bible says to buy the truth and sell it not. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, once you get a hold of truth, once you get a hold of the love of God, once you get a hold of the gospel, once you get a hold of Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You got to hold on to that and never sell it, never give it away, never let anything convince you that it's a lie. His fear was not that the devil could harm them. His fear was that the devil could convince them. Today I'm here to tell you, you have no reason. Everybody say no reason. No reason to fear the devil physically. You know, there's many times, and there's so many ways I could have gone about this sermon. I could preach 15 sermons on this topic. I won't do that today. I tried to just move it down and preach it just a certain way. Hallelujah. But there's so many times where the devil is approached and he's revealed in Scripture. And every single time when he's speaking to a man or a woman or something in that sense, he is lying. He is deceiving. Do you know what I love about Job? The Bible says that, yeah, the Bible says that Satan came before God in the book of Job. And that's the one time you hear the devil speak and he doesn't lie. He wouldn't dare to lie before the throne of God. Hallelujah. But he says, have you considered my servant Job? God's talking to the devil. Listen, the only reason that the devil had power to hurt Job physically is because God released him to do it. Is this all right today? Listen, there's some people who are out there thinking the devil's going to take me out. The devil can't do a single thing to you unless God gives him permission to do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just yesterday, I felt the Holy Ghost when I was driving. I was in the left lane, all the way in the left lane, right in front of me, maybe 10, 15 feet to the lane to the right of me. A car stopped for the red light, and here comes another car right behind it. It's a large, some sort of like U-Haul truck, comes right behind him. He tries to hit his brakes, but it was so, the road was so slippery, he skid and he slammed into that car. That car went flying down across to all the way to the other side of the street. I was within 10 to 15 feet. I thought, God, thank you for saving me. And then I was driving home a few hours later. And I'm not lying to you. I'm in the lane, in the left lane. We get a green light, the left lane. The car in front of this big, massive truck was going super slow. He's honking his horn, obviously aggravated. So the truck swerves in front of me, maybe 10 feet. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what he was thinking. But there was a car right there. That truck swerved. slammed right into the car in front of him. Again, I was within 15 feet of being in another wreck. I had to avoid and drive around to not get hit by all the issues and the car parts flying all over the place. Listen, the devil might try to take me out, but obviously God doesn't have that in his plan. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but you ever felt that way? You ever felt like, man, everything could have gone wrong, but thank God his hand is on me. Why is that? Because the Bible says that he's given his angels charge over you to keep you, lest you should dash your foot against a stone. Some people don't believe in guardian angels. I do believe in guardian angels. I believe that there are angels who circle around every believer, keeping them safe and protecting them from any harm. And the only way the devil can do anything against it is if God gives him permission. You don't have to lay in your bed wondering, oh, is the devil going to hurt me tonight? The devil can't do a single thing. And if you open up that door of fear, all you're doing is giving him permission to come in and mess with you. What you got to do is you got to speak and say, I am a child of God. I hold the light within me where no darkness can approach. Hallelujah. I have angels who are surrounding me. Praise God. When I was young, I just got back into church and just started preaching. I was on fire for God. But every night when I laid my head down, all of a sudden I'd start to feel it. Anybody ever felt that? I start to feel it. That fear gripping me. Feeling like there is something in my room watching me. And I'd pray, and I'd pray, and I'd pray all through the night. And I thought to myself, look at this. The devil's after me. I must be something great. I'm not sleeping at night. I'm waking up every morning, and I'm looking like a raccoon because I got such dark eyes. But I'm anointed man of God. I can hardly walk. But I'm an anointed man of God. The devil's after me. You know what? That happened for months. For months I couldn't sleep. For months I'd lay there afraid to turn around because I was afraid I'd see some shadow in my room or something. You might think I'm crazy, and maybe I am a little crazy, and that's all right. Hallelujah. But for months that happened. One night I just got so frustrated, Brother Brandon. I got so frustrated of being afraid. I got so over it. And I said, I don't think that this is the will of God for my life. I don't think that he wants me to lay here every night afraid of what might be on the other side of the room. So that night I made a commitment and I prayed and I said, I'm going to pray every night from this point on. I just prayed a simple prayer. I said, God, I ask you to place angels around my room. Hallelujah. Don't allow anything spiritually or physically evil to come in Jesus' name. I tell you, I got the best night of sleep that I had gotten in months. It completely stopped. Why? It's because when you open up the door to fear, that's an invitation for the devil. Fear is an invitation to the devil. Hallelujah. Listen, that's why horror movies is an invitation to the devil. Praise God. Y'all thought you liked it. Until I got there, but praise the Lord. Horror movies is an invitation to the devil. I like being afraid. Listen, fear is where the devil lives. That's why the devil can't do anything to you, but he can make you think he'll do it to you. If the devil is trying to speak in your ear, the devil's making you afraid, it's because he can't actually do what he's telling you he's going to do. Because the only weapon, hear this today, the only weapon the devil has in his arsenal is lies. That's it. That's all it is. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I don't know who that was for. Hallelujah, but somebody needs to grab a hold of that. The only weapon the devil has in his arsenal is lies. Why is that? Because Jonadab, he might be subtle, but he's nothing. He hangs around the king's kids, but Jonadab has no authority to his name. Jonadab has no power. All he can do is deceive and lie. All he can do is stir up trouble in your life. That's all the devil knows he's got to do, is just stir up trouble in your life, and then he'll get you, because he's got no other way to take you out. Brothers and sisters, here's my sermon. Stop listening to the devil. Stop listening to his lies. Stop listening when he speaks. Shun the voice of the devil. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Don't listen to the voice of the devil. Come on, Amnon. You've tried real hard to hold yourself together and to hold your family together despite your physical incapabilities, despite your lusts, despite your desires, your passions. You've held it together because you knew it was right. You knew it's what you needed to do to be saved. You knew it's what was best for your family. But here comes Jonadab speaking, telling you, it's all right. Just do this. You're a son of the king. The king will forgive you. Just step into it. Jonadab is not your friend. You want to know what the voice of deception sounds like? I wrote this down. And it was really good, and I can't remember it, so I'm going to go back to my notes. Praise God. Pray for your pastor's memory. Hallelujah. I got a lot of support on that one. Praise the Lord. Thank you. The voice of the devil sounds a lot like the voice of support. The voice of the devil sounds a lot like the voice of support. The voice of a friend. I'm not here to tell you that all the time it's going to be a little angel on your shoulder. Sometimes the devil uses friends, family members, uses media, outside sources that are going to come up next to you and say, I know this is what you want. Why don't you just take it? Just do it. This is what you truly want. Any voice that persuades you or attempts to persuade you to break the will of God is not the voice of a friend. It's the voice of the devil. The voice of the devil will urge you to do what is contrary to God's will because it is what you want. Can I tell you that even Peter can be rebuked by Jesus? Peter said, no way, Jesus, are you going to go on that cross. The cross was God's will for Jesus. Every part of God, Jesus' flesh, did not want to go on that cross. And here comes the voice of the devil. Oh, no, Jesus, you don't have to go on no cross. You don't have to die for your people. And here's what Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. He did not know what he was saying. There's some people today who need to tell the voice of that friend, get thee behind me, Satan. I know where I'm heading. I know what I'm doing. I'm going the Lord's way. I'm going the Lord's way.
I'm going the Lord's way. Get thee behind me, Satan. Somebody say that right now. Get thee behind me, Satan.
There's some voices that are speaking, telling you that it's okay to dissolve your marriage because you're not happy. That is not the voice of a friend. It may sound like the voice of support, but that is not the voice of a friend. That's the voice of a deceiver. Oh, Hatarabasuna. And I don't know who I'm speaking to right now, but I'm here to speak to you prophetically from the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I'm not saying this generally. There's somebody right now, you know I'm speaking to you. That is not the voice of a friend. That's not the voice of something or someone that's going to help you. It's a lie. It's a deception. Because that friend, Jonadab, his counsel to Amnon brought such devastation to their family that it would be over 40 years of chaos within the family of David. Because Absalom, the brother of Tamar, would be so angry at Amnon for this horrible thing that he did, that Absalom would arrange for all the king's sons to come together in a party. He learned a little trickery of his own. And when they all came together, he told his servant, I want you to take out Amnon, because of what he did to my sister. When David heard about it, the reports were flying around that all of his sons had been killed. There was no way for him or anybody who wasn't there to know that it was only Amnon that was killed, because all the reports said all the kids were killed. But look at this, 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 30. Praise God. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 30. And it came to pass while they were in the way that tidings came to David saying, Absalom hath slain all the king's son, and there is not one of them left. Verse 31. Then the king arose. He tear his garments. He lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. He is fully convinced. They all are. That all of his sons have been killed. Look at verse 32. And Jonadab. Where have I heard that name before? Jonadab. Isn't that Amnon's friend? And Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's son. For only Amnon is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar.
the same voice of deception with Amnon was the same voice of condemnation. The same voice that convinces you to do what you know you ought not to do is the same voice that will turn around moments later and say, "See, I told you you were no good. See, I told you you'd never make it. See, I told you you couldn't live for God. I told you you weren't anointed. I told you you weren't called." No, but from the moment you committed that sin, "Oh, don't you know, Jonadab, weren't you the one that convinced me? It doesn't matter, you did it. And now you are condemned for it." John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." The voice of the devil, he's not just simply wanting to convince you to do something bad. He wants to convince you to do it and then turn around and destroy your family and destroy your marriage and destroy your life. He wants to turn around and destroy your career. He wants it all to crumble. Why is that? I don't know why Jonadab is such a devious little snake. Maybe it's because he wanted the throne. Maybe he thought that if he could get rid of some of the opposition, he'd have more of an opportunity. I don't know, but I know the voice of deception is the same voice of condemnation. But listen, you are not condemned. Even if you've fallen, even if you've messed up, even if you've made a mistake, there's still hope in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to stand in opposition to the voice of condemnation that says you are a sinner. You're always going to be a sinner. You're an alcoholic. You're always going to be an alcoholic. You're an adulterer. You're always going to be an adulterer. In the name of Jesus, I know a God who's able to transform you and change you. You don't have to be condemned. You don't have to live with that lie. Shut up the voice of Jonadab and hear the voice of God today. Because there's a difference between the voice of conviction and the voice of condemnation. The voice of conviction will come when you sin, and that's that urging in you. You got to do better, man. I'm not here to preach to you that God accepts sin, that God overlooks sin. We see that the wages of sin is death. Hallelujah. But what the Lord wants more than anything else is when you sin, that you fall down to your knees and you repent and you ask the Lord for forgiveness and you ask Him to forgive you and wash you. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The voice of condemnation wants you to never go back into the presence of God. The voice of condemnation declares that you can't do better. But the voice of conviction says, "This is wrong, but you can do it. This is wrong, but I'm with you. This is wrong, but let's step back up. This is wrong, but let's face it again. This is wrong, but go to church again. This is wrong, but read your Bible again. This is wrong, but pray again. This is wrong, but praise me again." Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Everybody say no condemnation. To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What does that mean? It means I'm forgiven. It means I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. And I don't have to revisit my sin. I'm forgiven. Shout, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. You can overcome the voice of Jonadab. You can overcome the lies and deception. And you can overcome the condemnation. You don't have to be who the devil says you are. You don't have to be that. I'm almost finished. This isn't in my notes. But the Bible connects Satan to the first murder. Anybody know who the first murder was of? Abel. Cain. You brought your best. You brought the fruit of the field. But I've asked for a lamb. Abel brought the lamb. Abel, I have respect unto his sacrifice. Cain, you didn't obey my commandments. Here's what God does. He says, and this is Aramean version, not King James version, Aramean version. But essentially he says, you've messed up, but there's a door of opportunity to make it right. But be careful. Sin is at the door, and it's waiting to pounce. What he is saying is they were unfamiliar with the voice of temptation. And directly after, the voice of conviction fell upon Cain. Cain had a decision to make. He could allow himself to listen to God's voice, or he could listen to the voice of the deceiver. The devil. The Bible says that the devil was the first murderer. What does that mean? It means that the devil was behind Cain's every action. Because the voice of condemnation brings the voice of jealousy with it. And all of a sudden, you're looking at everybody else and you're saying, who do they think they are? How dare they pretend like they're better? I know nobody can be that holy. I know nobody can be that true and honest. Listen, every voice of a lie is from the devil. If it's hypocrisy, it's still of the devil. You can sit in the church and be a hypocrite, and you're still of the devil. Praise God. Oh, I know I'm not having any friends. Nobody's inviting me to lunch today. Hallelujah. It's because the voice of hypocrisy is of the devil. And it was the voice of condemnation that urged Cain to take the life of his brother. You say, well, I'm not going to murder anybody. I hope not. Hallelujah. But will you give up on God's call in your life because of the voice of condemnation? Will you decide within yourself that you're not enough, so you might as well give up? Will you convince yourself or allow the voice of the deceiver to convince you that your marriage is already corrupt and there is no hope? Hallelujah. I'm keeping my eyes closed because I believe God is speaking to people. I don't want anybody to think I'm talking to them. Today, the voice of God is screaming out and saying, you are an overcomer by my spirit, and you don't need to listen to the voice of the devil. He is a liar. And it's a lie that your marriage is over. And it's a lie that your ministry is over. And it's a lie that revival is over. It's a lie that the devil's trying to spread, but he's not going to be successful. Why? Because I'm not listening to the liar anymore. I'm going to listen to the voice of God. Come on, whose report do you believe? I believe in the report of the Lord, and his report says, ye shall overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Hallelujah. The report says that we will overcome those who are in this world. Anybody believe you're an overcomer today? Hallelujah. How about we stand to our feet? Oh, hear me today. The church has to be an overcomer over the voice of the enemy. The church has to overcome the voices that are declaring lies into your family and into your life. The church has to overcome it. Hallelujah. I wanted to read this one passage of scripture. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 through 4. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit. That means don't listen to every spirit that speaks to you. Don't listen to every voice. If it's a voice of condemnation, it's not of God. Somebody shout amen on that. If it's a voice trying to convince you to walk away from the word of God, it's not of God. Shout amen. Amen. If it's a voice trying to convince you to break the word of God, the law of God, it's not of God. Everybody shout amen. Amen. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. What does that mean? If it's not of the word of God, it's not of God. There are many false prophets gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ is come of the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is not of the flesh is not of God. And I don't have time to break into that, but it says this is the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is already in the world today, lying, deceiving. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. We've been talking about the end times on Wednesday nights. Here's the Bible saying the Antichrist spirit is already here. The voice of deception is already here. But look at verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you still believe that today? Hallelujah. What does that mean? It means that the truth is greater than the lie. But we've got to hold fast to the truth. We got to believe that we are going to be anointed. We are powerful. We are going to see great signs and wonders. We are going to have an outpouring. God is going to change my family. God is going to set my children free. God is going to bring us into heaven together. I believe it. Do you believe it today? Do you believe it today? Hallelujah. I believe I am healed in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody needs to start shouting it. I believe I am healed. The devil wants you to think that you're not going to be healed and that the Lord can't do it. In Jesus' name, speak, I believe I am healed. Hallelujah. Sister Smith, if you're watching, I want you to speak it in Jesus' name. I am healed. I'm not going to listen to any other voice than this voice. I am healed in Jesus' name. I'm not going to listen to any other voice. I'm set free from my addictions. I am set free from my addictions in the name of Jesus. Somebody say it. I'm set free from my addictions in the name of Jesus. I will be saved. I will be saved. Come on, I'm trying to get some of the voice of the devil out of you. Start speaking faith. Start speaking like it's already done. Start speaking like it's already done. Oh, my family is going to be saved in Jesus' name. My ministry will be restored in Jesus' name. We will see revival in Jesus' name. Lives will be transformed in this place in Jesus' name. Come on, only you know the voice that's been speaking in your ear. Now I want you to challenge it. Would you right now, we're going to play a song. Would you come down to this pulpit, this